Well-behaved guests. If you're right, this is a Greek curse we're dealing with. Mr. Lewis spoke as he and the aldermen circled around the ballpark, heading towards the largest concentration of bars in its shadow. Then this is most likely some form of Vascania. It's more generically referred to as an evil eye. If that's what's going on, that's simple enough to dispel.
So it will be over tonight? Pleaded Alderman Sheedy.
If that's what you think it is, replied Mr. Lewis, the evil eye can be spawned through envy and rage. That's somewhat consistent with how you think the curse started. The rest of it, though, it's just not consistent. Could the gravitas of public attention running counter to the curse's goal be causing it to evolve in unusual ways? I don't know. We need a test subject. If you'd briefed me before I arrived, I could have tried exercising any eye from those lawn irrigators, and perhaps they wouldn't have jumped in front of that truck. The alderman did not reply, and the two continued their way around the stadium. When they reached the opposite corner of the block, the strip of bars the next block over was starting to percolate, and a small crowd was staggering from saloon to saloon with intent. They crossed the block and entered into the buzzed throng. How frequently does this occur? Asked Mr. Lewis.
Too frequently, said Alderman Sheedy. But we'll know pretty fast. None of this is subtle.
So they kept moving. The afternoon was fading, but the crowd wasn't. Twice around the block, and by then everyone was looking towards the northern sky. It started with a noise. An impossibly deep voice screaming, "Muh!" boomed out of the sky with the last syllable trailing off in a jagged trilling. Then came a point of light, growing larger as it grew nearer, until it turned into two shimmering goats pulling a chariot.
That's a new one,
muttered Alderman Sheedy. When the chariot was practically overhead, the reins attaching the goats to the chariot fell off, and the goats shot into the crowd like they were arrows fired from a bow. When they hit the crowd, the goats disappeared. A few seconds later, there was a scream, the sort of bellowing you might expect to hear from a warrior charging into battle. The crowd parted a bit as a chair flew through the air, revealing a man with the build of an out-of-shape linebacker swinging fists at anything around him. Where his head should have been was the flickering visage of a goat. Shortly after that, the scene repeated itself further down the block. A slightly more fit man with a flickering goat for a head was picking people up and tossing them. It always has to be the hard way, Mr. Lewis grumbled as he stomped over to the first goat-headed man. He stared into the goat's eyes, raised his arms, and spoke.
O Kyrios, o Themos mas, o Vasilias, ton ilikon, pantodynamos kai irasiko.
A complete Greek exorcism. The goat head tilted, a look something like puzzlement flashing across its eyes. Then its teeth gnashed, and it lumbered towards Mr. Lewis.
It's not a Greek curse,
Mr. Lewis frowned as he spoke to Alderman Sheedy.
Fortunately, I have an equalizer. You might want to back up.
As the goat-headed man charged him, Mr. Lewis brought his knee up into its groin. The eyes of the goat rolled back and it howled. Then separation occurred. The goat head blinked and shot back into the sky towards the chariot, which still floated above. A goat appeared in front of the floating chariot, once more tethered to it by a rein. The head of the man whose body the goat had been riding was now visible again, collapsed to the ground.
Why, brah, why?
The man groaned as he writhed on the sidewalk. Mr. Lewis repeated the process on the second man with the goat head. The same results followed. When the second goat appeared in the sky, attached by reins to the chariot, the goats began to start moving. The chariot turned in a circle behind the goats, and they flew away in the direction they came from. Strangely, the second goat appeared to be walking with a limp.
Did you magic them?
Squeaked Alderman Sheedy, clinging closely to Mr. Lewis.
No.
The prayer against the evil eye didn't even register, said Mr. Lewis. On the other hand, nobody likes getting kicked in the balls. It doesn't work if an entity is settled in, but it's a hell of a shock to the system if they haven't. We're not dealing with a Greek curse, though, and what I just saw cannot possibly exist.
Whatever it was, we can't have berserkers tearing up the entertainment district.
Alderman Sheedy was close to hyperventilating. Berserkers, mused Mr. Lewis. Yes, That would fit with the chariot, except they're all long dead. Alderman Sheedy opened his mouth to ask a question, but the words never made it out.
More disturbances, little cousin?
Mrs. Gudrun and her flankers had returned.
This all has to go. Shut down these ale halls. Banish the stickball. These masterless thralls will tear each other apart and riot if things stay unchecked.
Masterless thralls?
Stammered Alderman Sheedy, clearly confused.
Slaves without masters, answered Mrs. Gudrun. They do not own their land. They are like slaves to their wages and choose our neighborhood for their disruptions. It will only get worse. End this now, little cousin.
And once more she turned and left, but this time her flanker's death glare fell on Mr. Lewis, not Alderman Sheedy. Thralls, repeated Mr. Lewis. That's not a good sign.
No respect for rental, Alderman Sheedy had a rant bubbling up. They don't like people who rent. Well, I rent out plenty of apartments, and I don't need fear-mongering driving down the price of rent just because Icier owns their condos.
Icier?
Yes, Icier Neighborhood Partners. It's the name of their association.
I think it's supposed to be pronounced Izier. Mr. Lewis raised an eyebrow. How can a Viking cult cull down magic when their gods are dead?